Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
If any of you weren't there on Sunday, it would be good to catch up with the message then, or at least look on my website and the prophetic word about God's love for us, because our love is always a response to His love. We can only love because He has first loved us. And this season, we have to live in the feast. Now, you can't live in the feast unless you stay in the feast, keep entering into the feast, keep feeding on the Lord in the feast. And we've seen that there are these four cornerstones of the feast: the glory, the holiness, the love, and the victory. And I'm going to talk about the love of the feast this morning. In other words, our response of love to that great love that God has for us. So this is really the continuation of Sunday's message, or if you like, the other side of the coin. And on Sunday we were talking about the fact that Jesus said that He loves us with the same love with which the Father loved Him. And of course then the outworking of that in our lives is to obey the new commandment. A new command I give you: love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So what does this love look like? I'm not so much going to talk about the fruit that gets produced out of that love, although we will touch on that, but actually what does it mean to have this love functioning in your life? The important thing for us to remember is that this is a multifaceted truth, really. And just to have some facets of that love isn't sufficient. God wants every facet of this love to be revealed in us. So this is something that I put together during the last few days about this love. So I'm going to sort of go through it. And I'll just pause every now and again, perhaps to comment and just to explain a little further. Love is one of the four cornerstones of the feast. It is exercised in conjunction with the other three cornerstones, as we saw on Sunday. So this is love that comes from the glory of God and gives glory to Him when expressed in the lives of those who belong to the feast. It is holy love, and so reveals the presence of the Holy One. Such love means that the believer wants nothing to do with anything that is unholy in God's eyes. In God's eyes, not just our eyes. It is victorious love that enables the believer to overcome all that does not belong to the feast, both in his own life and in the circumstances that arise in his experience. I didn't really have time on Sunday to get round to explaining the connection between the love and the victory. I don't know that I will this morning, but certainly in the coming days and weeks, this will become very apparent. Because of the nature of this love, it is entirely the work of the Holy Spirit within believers. It cannot be generated by self-effort or determination. It comes from participation in the feast and can only be maintained by continuing to live in the feast. This is why this love is different in kind and degree from that which is normally evidenced among Christians. This is the challenge. This love has to find practical expression in the lives of those who possess it. They fulfill what the scriptures say about love, especially in the Gospel of John and in his first letter. First, it is evidenced in love for God himself, and so for his will. There is a deep desire to live close to him, to honor him in all things, and to be faithful to him. This love is expressed in the believer's devotion to worship, prayer, the word, and other aspects of his relationship with Jesus. The closeness of that relationship is the priority. This love inspires a love for righteousness and a hatred of anything considered sinful by the Lord. The believer does not want to grieve the one he loves, even in small ways. He becomes far more perceptive spiritually, and so will not be deceived by what is false. He wants to hear the Lord clearly and truly, rather than hear him say what formerly he wanted him to say. That's a big one, because there are so many people in these days that are hearing what they want to hear rather than what God is actually saying. Out of his relationship with the Lord comes mercy and compassion for others that has to be expressed in positive action. He is not content to feel compassion, but the love of God compels him to action. Instead of negative attitudes of judgment and criticism, he is filled with a concern for the welfare of others, even those who do not belong to the Lord or are at present grieving him in some way. This is a measure of the way the grace of God is at work in him, because he has an increased sense of needing to be holy in all his attitudes and actions. He is so aware of God's mercy towards him that he dares not withhold mercy from others. This love overcomes all opposition, every affliction and need. This is because of the believer's overwhelming security in knowing God's love for him, which is what we were talking about on Sunday. Knowing the depth of his love has become his security. It is out of this assurance of God's love that he can pray with such conviction and faith. The believer is deeply concerned to see the principles of covenant love outworked in his relationships with his fellow believers. These principles must be truly expressed in both his attitudes and actions towards others. It is of prime importance that he keeps covenant with God and with his children, especially those within the local expression of the body of Christ to which he belongs. This is no longer the way he ought to live, but the way in which he wants to live. Honoring the anointing becomes a reality in his life as an expression of the desires of his heart, rather than as something he has been taught is right to do. So he has an increased respect for God's authority both directly and in those set over him by the Lord. This love urges him to respond to the needs of others around him as those needs arise. He no longer leaves such response to others, but is readily available to serve in whatever ways are necessary and appropriate. He is simply there for others and is willing to make whatever sacrifices love demands. He is more conscious of the need to love than of counting the cost to himself of this love. Sacrifice is expected instead of being regarded as exceptional. It is obvious that such love has to be the work of God in the heart of the believer and cannot be generated in any other way. He simply has a heart full of love that has to find practical expression in his life. Whereas he may have had a concern to see people saved, now this becomes a real hunger in his heart. He finds himself witnessing in ways that would have been absent in his life before. However, because of the depth of repentance in his own life, he is not content to see people make superficial responses to the gospel. He wants others to know not only the thorough cleansing from sin, but for them also to be wholeheartedly surrendered to the Lord so that they are able to enter into the feast from the very beginning of their Christian experience. The way those who belong to the feast intercede for souls to be saved takes on another dimension, especially people known to them and those the Spirit lays on their hearts to pray into the kingdom. In all these ways, believers are responding to the initiative of the Holy Spirit. Their close relationship with him is maintained by obedience to him. This is seen in the various ways in which he leads them out into the community to serve. He inspires many new initiatives that lead to the establishing of new ministries. They become far more fruitful because of the servant nature of their hearts. All this has become possible because of the believer's transformed attitudes to the use of his time. Everything is centered on the Lord and his will. Time belongs to him and is to be used in ways that glorify him. At the same time, the quality of his family life and relationships generally are greatly enhanced because of the love that flows freely from his heart and life. This love causes the believer to become a more generous person. Out of his love, God is continually giving to him, and he in turn looks for opportunities to give. This is expressed in his financial giving to the Lord and also to others who are in need. He acknowledges that all he is and has belongs to the Lord and is available to him to be used in ways that fulfill his will. He is also a more joyful and humble person and now gives thanks in all circumstances. He has become so much more positive that any negatives seem out of place in his life. He does not want to grieve the Lord. If he does, he is very quick to repent and seek his forgiveness. He lives in the fear of the Lord like never before. Also, new dimensions of faith are expressed in both prayer and his actions. He trusts in the Lord with all his heart and no longer leans on his own understanding. There is expectation that his prayer will bring about positive change. He has become a much more positive person in every respect. He knows the Lord will never fail him. The believer is a witness to the transforming nature of God's love, a love that impacts others so their lives may also be transformed. It inspires confidence because he lives in the reality of his presence at all times, regardless of his circumstances. Because this love inspires obedience to the Lord, the believer can be trusted to devote himself to fulfilling the will of God for his life. He proves faithful and is entrusted with greater responsibilities by the Lord. In choosing to love in this way, the believer has chosen the path of blessing and lives in the continual favor of the Lord in his grace. The Lord enables him to overcome the opposition he will inevitably encounter, even from other believers who do not express such love in their lives. He never loses sight of the truth that the love he expresses is but a pale response to the amazing love in which he is held by the Lord. It seems he is continually discovering new depths to that love. He is conscious that the Lord provides all that he needs to express faithfulness to his purposes, and he willingly submits to the Lord's loving discipline and correction whenever this is necessary. He is aware that the Lord lifts him up and carries him when he comes to the limit of his own abilities. He does not need to fear the challenges of the future, because this is the love that overcomes all fears. This is the love of the feast, the love of the kingdom of God, the love of Christ within him, revival love. Glorious, holy, and overcoming love. This is the love that God will multiply. He doesn't want to multiply anything less than that. So all his promises of multiplication are dependent really upon the expression of that love. This is a prophetic word that the Lord gave me just the other day, the 29th of August. I'll just read it to you. My words are the words of life. Whatever contradicts my words is spiritual death. We'll put this up on my website too, so you don't have to write it. These are words of truth. Whatever contradicts these words is therefore deception. These are the words of my spirit. Whatever contradicts them comes from a false spirit. These are words of light. Whatever contradicts them is therefore of darkness. These are words of freedom. Whatever contradicts them leads to bondage. These are words of joy. Whatever contradicts them leads to sorrow. These are words of peace. Whatever contradicts them leads to turmoil. These are words of love. Whatever contradicts them leads to fear and hatred. These are words of righteousness. Whatever contradicts them is sin. These are words of holiness. Whatever contradicts them is unholy in my sight. These are words of justice. Whatever contradicts them embraces injustice. These are words of hope. Whatever contradicts them leads to despair. These are words of faith. Whatever contradicts them is evidence of self-dependence. These are words of authority. Whatever contradicts them has no divine authority. Actually, they're a rebellion, aren't they? These are words of victory. Whatever contradicts them ends in defeat. These are words of eternal life. Whatever contradicts them will pass away. These are words of health. Whatever contradicts these words is unhealthy. These are words of salvation. There is no salvation in whatever contradicts these words. These are words of grace that lead to abundance. Whatever contradicts these words leads to poverty of spirit. These are words of judgment for the unwary. Whatever contradicts these words leads to condemnation. These are words that enable my children to overcome the enemy. Whatever contradicts these words enables him to oppress. These are words of purity. Whatever contradicts these words is impure. These are words of wisdom. Whatever contradicts them lacks wisdom, and whoever contradicts them is unwise. Amazing the scope of the word, isn't it? All these are biblical statements. And of course, to contradict is to think something other than what the word says. Let alone say and do it. So these are words of mercy that lead to forgiveness. Whatever contradicts them leads to offense. These are words that encourage faithfulness. There is no lasting fruit from whatever contradicts these words. These are words of glory that come from my glory, but there is no glory in whatever contradicts my words. These are words of power that bring release. Whatever contradicts these words is devoid of divine power and so is ineffective in bringing release. These are the words of God. So whatever contradicts these words cannot be of God. These are words that express who I am. Whatever contradicts these words opposes me and who I am. Faith in these words pleases me. So whatever contradicts these words grieves me. Obedience to these words brings reward. There is no reward for whatever contradicts these words. These are words of true discipleship. Those who contradict these words cannot live as my disciples. These are words that speak of the inheritance that awaits the faithful. Those who contradict these words deny such inheritance. These are words of the kingdom of heaven. Whoever contradicts these words has no place, have no place in that kingdom. These are words of the feast I have prepared. Those who contradict these words deprive themselves of this feast. These are words that come from the spirit of faith. Whoever contradicts these words does not walk by faith, trusting in me. These are words of promise. Those who contradict these words deprive themselves of the promises of which these words speak. These are words of love that bring people into close fellowship with me. Unbelief and disobedience contradict these words and so deprive people of that fellowship. These are words of blessing. Whatever contradicts these words cannot bring blessing. These are words of repentance that bring restoration. Whatever contradicts these words prevents such restoration. These are words of covenant. Those who contradict these words by their actions break covenant with me and their fellow believers. These are words of unity. Whatever contradicts these words causes disunity. These are words that honor me. Whatever contradicts these words dishonors me. These are words that refine. Whatever contradicts these words resists this refining. These are words that bring correction. Whatever contradicts these words resists such correction. These are words that bring acceptance in my sight. Whatever contradicts these words can only lead to a sense of rejection. These are words of deliverance from all that is false. Whatever contradicts these words only brings further deception and bondage. Those who honor these words through their loving faith and obedience store up riches in heaven. Whatever contradicts these words can only store up riches on earth. These are words of prosperity. Whatever contradicts these words cannot prosper eternally. Those who honor these words walk in the fear of the Lord. Those who contradict these words walk only in their own ways, not mine. Well, that just came in one of my prayer times. Last Friday, was it? Just right out of the blue, just gone started to sort of dictate this. At the end of it, I thought, goodness me, if you just went through the positive statements, how rich is the word? Yeah. It is all those things. How devastating the consequences of unbelief, of contradiction, of disobedience to God's word. See, this is where this love is very exacting. Because God says, well, if you love me, you'll love my word. And my word will be all these things to you. And I don't want anything in your heart, in your life, in your speaking, in your relationships, in your actions, that is a contradiction to my word. Exacting. See? Very exacting. But he is actually a very exacting God. And he says, right, you want the feast, I've led you into the feast. Now stay in the feast.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.